Okay, hello everybody. My name is Jeff Thompson, and this is the ADRHub.com podcast series. Today I have with me the Reverend Chloe Breyer. She's the Executive Director of the Interfaith Center of New York. And what we'll be discussing today is a recap of the Roundtable Breakfast series that's held every month in New York City. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being here. So yeah, basically today, for the people that missed the Roundtable Breakfast in New York City because they couldn't be there, or for the fact that they don't live in New York City, I just wanted to do a quick recap with you where the topic of that particular session, which I wasn't there either, so this recap's going to help me, so you can fill me in on what I missed. It was called Restoring Civil Dialogue in a Polarized World. And then the brief description of it was, in this age of polarization where civil dialogue seems a rarity, these professionals have committed to working to facilitate constructive communication among people with different perspectives. And it seemed like it was sort of geared around, since it was in New York City, around the issue in regards to the mosque being built near Ground Zero. But it seems like there were other topics that seemed to have been discussed. And along with yourself being one of the presenter and speakers, there was also Frank Fredericks, who founded the World Faith in 2006. Claudia Maffetone, if I pronounce her name right, is the president of Lux. And then also from the Interfaith Center, Sarah Saeed. And then just before I turn it over to you, just also again very quickly, I just wanted to explain to everybody what the Interfaith Center is. Or actually, you know what, maybe I'll let you just take it over from here. Maybe if you want to just tell us what the Interfaith Center of New York does, and then just tell us more about what happened at this breakfast that I missed and some of our listeners missed.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me on today. Again, my name is the Reverend Chloe Breyer. I'm an Episcopal priest here in the Diocese of New York, associate at a small parish in West Harlem, and then also direct the Interfaith Center, which has been around for about 13 years. And we were founded by the very Reverend James Parks Morton, who was Dean of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine for about 25 years, and have evolved over time. Our mission really is to work with grassroots and immigrant leaders, you know, hundreds of them across the five boroughs area, from 15 different faith traditions here in New York City, to really address common practical problems ranging from health care for children to domestic violence to economic disparities and problems around foreclosure. Very practical issues that we believe is a way to bring extremely diverse folks of faith to the table, and recognizing the really special role that religious leaders play as kind of intermediaries for their constituencies, particularly in immigrant and disenfranchised groups in the city. And so our involvement, to let you know, in terms of, we were thrilled to be asked to speak on this important topic by the Alternative Resolution, a dispute resolution group. And my own comments really focused on how has the Interfaith Center been involved with this controversy around Park 51, the mosque, so-called, at Ground Zero, and right, our own belief that religion can be a source of conflict resolution, not only conflict and major disputes as we've come to associate it, I think particularly in the last 9 months. I started off by saying that Imam Faisal Rauf is, who is the initiator of this project, has been a board member of ours since 2007, and we've really known him for decades as somebody who has, paradoxically enough, been a real leader in interfaith relations, positive interfaith relations between Islam and many other faith traditions. It was a real, there were three things that have, that I think were of relevance to folks who do conflict resolution. Just in terms of the last 9 months, it's been really an eye-opener for me in terms of the importance of the structure, how important structure is for civil dialogue. And I just note, in terms of the contrast between that initial community board meeting back in early June, where the conflict really erupted, and you had 3 hours of people in the most uncivil kind of debate I've ever heard in my lifetime here in the city.
Well, by structure, do you mean as far as setting up a proper way to have communication, like a
yes,
facilitation?
exactly. How
Okay.
important the role of facilitation is. And again, because you had this, this community board meeting where the NYPD had to be called in because people were shouting at each other.
Some of my coworkers were there. They told me about
Exactly. Some of your co-workers were welcomed. And then you had some of the same exact people a month, 2 months later, in a kind of off the record conversation that was happening between mosque leadership and some important representatives of 9/11 community survivors, loved ones, who really represented a cross section of feelings about the mosque. Yet this was a conversation where the press was not present, where there was a round table format, and you had 40 or 50 people in the room, but all with the sense that they would get their turn at the mic, and they all faced each other. And again, there wasn't a distinction. There was not, this was not a heavily pro mosque group. This was a group of family members and survivors who were across the board on this issue. But yet, the context of 3 hours where so many different opinions, there was still a feeling of respect. I
Who
would
had
say
put that? Who had put that event together?
that was a you know there was not, that was 9/11 Communities for Common Ground.
Okay.
And one of the representatives was actually at the breakfast, and Jill was there, and we were thrilled that she's involved with this along with Gary. And so I just sort of uphold that as an example of the importance of facilitated dialogue. Physically, it matters when you're in person and there's a facilitator there and there are some ground rules.
Well, one of the
So.
questions I wanted to ask you and get your opinion on it, first of all, how I think interconnected the ADR community and interfaith work, because both are based on communication and not only speaking communication, but also effective listening skills. And based on what you just said, what seemed like a well put together event, how important do you think it is, though? And a lot of times I think it's overlooked when people try to put together these discussions, and this even goes for, I think, when people say, oh, I'll mediate the situation, or in this case, I'll facilitate, that the person or persons facilitating are properly trained or equipped with facilitation skills. Because, of course, anyone can say they're a facilitator, mediator, conflict resolution specialist, or interfaith specialist, but actually having those core skills, I think, are crucial for the fact that they're sort of the ones guiding the process, not just for themselves, but in this case, over 50 people present.
Sure, that was clearly the key. Not only the format of the room, but in this case, there was a somebody who exhibited skills of a facilitator, because at any moment, the meeting probably could have gone south. And so both the power and opportunity in many cases, does rest in the hand of a skilled facilitator. So I think it was a testimony to the particular skills of this facilitator and the importance of, as you say, doing that right, having a kind of backload of experience and skills in order to be able to do it. I mean, I think also the other key part that's been a real revelation for me is just the role of history in any conflict, and the way that history is used in either perpetuating or offsetting a critical conflict. And
Right.
my own thought was, my colleague Matt Weiner and I did a piece for the Huffington Post on looking at anti-Catholic rhetoric in the early 19th century, just a few blocks from Ground Zero, where old pa St. Patrick's in what's now Little Italy had to be protected by armed congregants. I think the Archbishop of the time really, had his congregation out defending old St. Patrick's from anti-papist crowds with stones. And we're listening to the anti-Catholic rhetoric at the time, which, if you just replaced it, you had demagogues, really. I mean, Lyman Beecher going out there and saying, We have freedom of religion for every religion in this country except for Roman Catholics, because Roman Catholics are controlled by foreign forces that are antithetical to our constitutional democracy. And if you just replaced Roman Catholic
Right.
with Muslim today, you know, it would be, and I think that a reminder of that sort of history in a positive way also has an important impact on how people view a current conflict. So that was just another thing
Okay.
struck
Well,
me.
Reverend Chloe Breyer, I want to thank you for sharing this with us. And again, everyone, Reverend Chloe Breyer is the executive director of the Interfaith Center of New York. You can get more information on them at www.interfaithcenter.org. And she was gracious enough to give us a recap of the Roundtable Breakfast, which is in New York City, and it is hosted by the Association for Conflict Resolution of Greater New York Chapter, as well as the CUNY Dispute Resolution Consortium at John Jay. So I would like to thank you again, Reverend, for sharing your time with us. And we will have them on again in a future episode to talk about the wonderful International Sister Cities Initiative. And thank you very much, Reverend.
Thank you so much. Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Okay, bye, everyone.